just want to use your love tonight. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to a special Saturday night broadcast of the Last American Radio Broadcast. And I'm Brian Stavely. I'm here with James Sloan and Phil Jahan tonight, and we're going to be kicking off. We're either going to do an hour or two. So, you know, without any further ado, let me introduce Phil and Phil and James.
Hey, how you doing there tonight, Brian? Thanks for putting us on tonight.
No problem, guys. I'm doing excellent.
Hey, James, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hello, everyone.
How you doing tonight, James?
Oh, pretty good. Afternoon over here in Auckland, New Zealand.
What time is it there?
Oh, it's 5 p.m. here.
Okay, 11 p.m. here. Anyways, we'll be talking tonight, basically just, you know, nothing really, you know, chartered or scripted. We're going to be talking, you know, about the World Trade Center, you know, the hoax of 9/11, the Hollow Towers, the massive hoax that was pulled off on America and the world through 9/11, since 9/11, with 9/11 is really the main cause of everything that we're looking at today. It was used as a catalyst, as a chief event that would, you know, change the makeup and, you know, forces of the world, and take the whole entire world in a whole different direction than we were going. If people will remember, you know, the people that are a little bit older, back around 1989, we were all thrilled when, you know, we came home or heard on the radios that the Berlin Wall had fallen. Really without warning, the wall came down. We were watching clips of the wall being destroyed, dismantled, climbed upon, and, you know, for the older people out there, we had watched this wall, you know, divide east and west throughout, you know, most of the Cold War. We had seen people and heard of people that got gunned down trying to climb over. There was all sorts of intrigue through the wall, and then all of a sudden, one of the last vestiges of World War II in Germany, the dividing wall of partition, came down. And since then, after that, you know, we enjoyed a time of peace and hope. There really wasn't a lot in the world as far as enemies. The Soviet Union ceased to exist almost overnight, replaced by a host of many of the smaller nations that had made it up, which is what we see today. And since that time, there's been a lack of any identifiable world enemies. And that's where 9/11 comes in. There was a lot of smaller scripted events before 9/11. You have, you know, things like Waco. You have things like Ruby Ridge. You have what was the other one? The big one, Brian? Oklahoma City. That's it. And
OKC. Yep.
These were all there designed to really test the waters and make sure that they had everything in place for a bigger event, which came on 9/11. 9/11, as we were sold, you know, was, you know, done by the hijackers and the four hijacked aircraft. And, you know, we all know, you know, even those that really don't seek after this truth too hard, we all know that the official story is a fraud, it's a sham. And we've been battling for, really, you know, upwards of 10 years to establish just what happened on 9/11. And in the last 2 years, we've come out with a lot of new research that's just stuff you've never heard before, and it changes the entire paradigm of, you know, 9/11. What we found is, upon examining the debris pile at the World Trade Center, you will find that there wasn't so much as a chair, a desk, a telephone, any of these things found. The list is endless. Everything that should have been in the World Trade Center was missing from the debris pile, including large amounts of the World Trade Center. There was 46,000 trusses, according to Scott Craden's math, and I believe it's accurate. And some of these trusses, about half of them, were 58 feet long. The other ones were, you know, roughly 38 feet long. And you're missing roughly 46,000 of these, plus the floor pans that they held up, 9, 10, 11,000 floor pans. And you're also missing the 220 floors that were of concrete that were on these floor pans. Everything is missing from the debris pile. And what we basically discovered in a nutshell, which is what we're going to be talking about tonight, launching into it real quick now, is that the buildings were hollow. They were empty. They were gutted. And more than likely, for the most, you know, the majority of their life, the majority of the towers, you know, were like that. They probably had operational floors throughout, you know, various parts of the structure for different periods of life of the building. My guess is after 1993, that's when they cleared out, you know, pretty much anything that was left and, you know, made those buildings, you know, completely hollow, empty, and gutted and ready to go. Most of the glass was removed. Almost all the floors were missing. In the Stephanopoulos and the Giuliani broadcasts that we were given on 9/12, we were told that there was 100 missing floors per tower. And in another broadcast, that we were, you know, the same language was used, that there was, a you know, 100 missing floors in each tower. And they were giving the answers why this was so. So with this, we're going to open up the show. I'm going to allow James a few minutes to introduce himself and kind of, you know, take this where he wants to. James Sloan is a moderator at the forums. He's also done numerous shows on his own. James, you're a lot better at talking into dead air than I am. I got to give you credit. Whenever I go on the air, I just have to have somebody to talk to.
Yeah, this is probably the first show that I've done as a host, actually, with anybody. I've called in a few times, but yeah.
Yeah, I heard you talking to Brian earlier today. You know, where do you want to start out? Do you want to start out with the debris pile? Do you want to, you know, start out, you know, with some of the special effects that we discovered? You know, where do you want to head tonight? Because this is kind of unscheduled, and, you know, got to make it fun, so got to do something that we both want to talk about.
I think the debris pile is the best place to start. Yeah, I mean, it's just phenomenal, the amount things that you would expect to, and it's not just we talk about the contents of the building, but it's not just that. It's the bodies of the people that were in there. It's the personal effects, the clothing, just everything you would expect to be there isn't there. And of course, this whole time we've been saying, well, it must have been destroyed by some sort of nuclear weapon or some sort of explosive or whatever, but even then, a conventional controlled demolition probably wouldn't destroy all that. I mean, when they demolish a building, they gut it first anyway, so even if there were explosives, it still wouldn't destroy all that stuff. It's not enough. You would have to probably have a nuclear device or even then to actually cause the level of destruction.
You know, even then you wouldn't see what we see. I mean, you know, even, you know, nuclear devices have a, you know, circular radius. You know, there's going to be portions of the building. I mean, everything was uniformly destroyed, you know, at the rate of, you know, more than 10 floors per second. You know, each second, you know, each floor taking about a tenth of a second. You know, now, when I say floors destroyed, we're not just talking about a collapse. We're talking about, you know, the trusses are missing, the floor pans are missing, the entire contents of the floor, which is about 6 tons of material, you know, and desks, chairs, phones, and that kind of stuff. This is all gone. This is all just not there. They tried to give us, you know, misdirect us as far as, you know, where everything went. On the Stephanopoulos broadcast on 9/12, Stephanopoulos, you know, with a little bit of shame on his face, if you watch the broadcast, you know, he's blushing a little bit, you know, made the claim that, you know, most of the larger, harder structural elements of the World Trade Center were piled into the lower basement sections of the bathtub, where they evaporated into their own dust, is the words that he used. Now, I mean, what does that mean, James? Evaporated into their own dust. Okay, so you have these huge steel members and cross sections and trusses and 22 gauge, you know, steel floor pans, and you have what would be 20 or 30 stories of mangled wreckage, you know, just absent, just not there. I mean, what's the most likely explanation for its absence, James?
Well, conventionally would be perhaps it wasn't there in the first place, as opposed to trying to find a radical explanation for it, of which there really isn't one.
Yeah, had there, you know, had it been anything other than, you know, things are, you know, weren't there to begin with, then we would be looking at a whole different, excuse me, I've got a, you know, infection that I've been battling all week, so I'll probably cough off and on throughout the broadcast. But if it was a nuclear event, if it was directed energy weapons, no matter, you know, what you're looking at, okay, I mean, you would see, you know, heads and arms and legs and, you know, these things would be just sprinkled all over, okay? You would be seeing, bodies coming out of the rubble, you know, half in, half out. You would see multiple people probably with, you know, buried underneath the rubble, you know, where they're pinned down and they're, you know, they're just crushed and bleeding to death. There was none of this. There wasn't a single head that was, you know, rolling in the street. There was, you know, I think I've seen a picture of a hand, but when you know, it's like every picture from 9/11, nothing's cataloged, you know, and it's all... We've, you know, consider this, we've gone 10 years. What do you think about this, James? 10 years now, all right? And there's supposed to be you know, hundreds and hundreds of full body recoveries, as well as tens of thousands of body parts. There's no way they would have leaked photographs of that out to the public in one way or another. Why is it that none of those pictures have been leaked? Still with us, James? James?
Well, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, the internet snuff sites would be having a field day. I mean, they should have enough pictures and videos to last them a lifetime. You know, the Ogres and all those sites. I mean, those pictures would have made their way out. I mean, and if a nuclear device was used, that could be the most horrific crime scene photos we've probably ever seen. You know, they would be there somewhere. You know, they would have been leaked by now.
Yeah, and yet we don't have, as far as I know, a single, you know, leaked photograph. You know, we did have some pictures that were grotesque that we found on nondescript websites, you know, such as a guy that was shattered on a street, you know, with both of his legs, skin ruptured open and disemboweled. But we found, after investigating the picture, it took us a while, we found that this was a picture of a, you know, unfortunate Russian man that got run over by a truck in Russia. So
his injuries in the picture were obviously not consistent with anything that could have happened to him. It was obvious that he'd been run over, you know, or something like that. There's no way he could have been a jumper based on his injuries or anything like that.
Well, yeah, plus there was snow in the cracks of the pavement, and you know, one of the guys holding, you know, the plastic sheet up so somebody could take a picture of it. Probably the coroner. They wouldn't let, you know, press take a picture or something like that. You know, he had a glove on his hand. So, and then we found, you know, the actual accident scene in Russia, you know, where this guy had gotten hit by a truck. And, you know, that was the origin of the photo. So, you know, they were taking photographs from around the world and putting them on, you know, not mainstream sites, but, you know, like alternate, you know, sites, and, you know, peddling these as 9/11 photographs. We don't have any of that leaked footage. We don't have any pictures of bodies sticking out of the rubble. You know, as they let the cameras in to Ground Zero, there would have been no hiding this. Most of the fatalities at the World Trade Center came about in the North Tower. There was roughly 600 plus deaths in the South Tower, which we were told, and then over 1,300 deaths in the North Tower, and most of those were above the 91st floor. Now, the South Tower...
It's worth noting that all the jumpers came from the one tower, pretty much. The North Tower, I don't think there's any pictures of jumpers coming from the South Tower.
Yeah, no, it's you know, I'm not aware of any pictures of jumpers coming from the South Tower. Are you?
No, I've never seen any.
Yeah. You know, the North Tower seemed to, you know, be where they had all the scripted horrors, you know, that we, you know, see for so long. And, you know, they really didn't show them to us on 9/11. They alluded to it. As you watch the broadcast, you can see them talking about it. But, you know, other than one or two that they might have shown, you know, that was the days, weeks, and months following where they brought those. Hello.
Phil?
Yeah, thanks for calling back.
Somehow the Skype dropped. James needs to call in, though. We can't call out.
Okay, hold on.
Okay. Yeah, it dropped. I don't know what happened.
That's no big deal.
Okay, it wasn't the stream, though. Stream's still up.
I think it was my fault.
Oh, okay. Because the call just ended.
Yeah, that wouldn't have disconnected James. Now we got echo and feedback. Let me call you back.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Hello?
Hello.
Okay. You're back. Yeah, just waiting for James to call in. Not yet.
Hello?
Do you want to talk for a minute, or should I play a song while
Hello?
We wait for him?
Can you hear me, Brian?
Yeah, can you hear me? James?
Yeah.
Hold on, let's try and get Phil back. Phil?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's your phone, buddy. I don't know. It looked like it dropped off again, but we're back. James is here. We're back on the air. Go ahead, guys.
Okay. Hey, James. Let's see. I'm not exactly sure where we were. For the audience out there listening to this on a, rebroadcast, we're still working out issues this first week. This is kind of like a beta broadcast week. We're trying to do as many shows as we can and work out the quirks in our systems, software, and everything. Brian's done a terrific job of putting everything together for us, but trying to make everything work, with cell phones, Skype, and sound quality, and drop calls, sound drops, that kind of stuff. It's a lot to work out, so hopefully everybody will be patient with us. James, do you remember where we were? Do you want to, sound off on that?
Yeah, well, with the victims in particular, I think it's very fortunate, isn't it, that cell phone cameras didn't really come out probably till a couple of years after then, because if they did, finally when it happened, say, a few years later, every second person would have a cell phone camera that, they would be snapping pictures of all those body parts around the streets, and it wouldn't be credible, the idea that nobody got a picture of it.
Now, I talked to semi-professional journalist. His name is Lenny, and he's got an office about two blocks away from the World Trade Center. And about 6 months ago, I called him up, and, I had known, he had put me up, he let me stay at a studio when I visited Manhattan back in 2004, I believe it was. And, we kept in touch, over the years, and, I knew that he had gone to Ground Zero and recorded footage, and I also knew that he has footage, shot footage of the towers. So I had called him up trying to get footage, and I also asked him, out of the blue, he really didn't know where I was going with this, but I said, you're there just, six, blocks away from the World Trade Center. I said, what was the smell like? And he started describing it. He said it was just god-awful. He said it was the most horrible stench, that you could imagine, And that really, I guess I was taken back because I didn't expect that as an answer, and I asked him to describe it. And I said, what was this? Well, what was it like? I mean, describe it. Tell me. Make me smell what you smelled. And he said it was... he said it was like an acrid stench of burning electrical wires and PVC pipe and, like electrical wires. He said it was horrible. And he said it was all day long, continual. And I said, how long did that last for? And he said, well, the hurricane, pushed rains in and, put all the fires out 2 days later. And he says, after the rains came in 2 days, he said, there was none of that. And I said, there was none of that. He said it was all gone. And I said, well, what about a week later? And, he says, no, it was gone after the rain. And I said, how about 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later? I said, what was the stench like when he went down to Ground Zero? And, he said, well, it was gone after the rain. He said, I told you, And I said, so there was no horrible permeating stench of 2,700 rotting corpses that were filling all the alleys and, of Manhattan and just, that putrid stench of rotting flesh? There was none of that. And there was this long pause, and, he just said, I never even thought about it, but no, there was none of that. And I said, well, you walked the debris pile. You breached the security barrier and went around with your camera. I said, how many body parts did you see? You know, how many half bodies sticking out of the wreckage? I said, you know, what I was saying before we got cut off, is the North Tower, the South Tower fell first, and then the North Tower fell. The majority of the people in the North Tower, 1,300 plus people, were above the 91st floor. So where are they going to be in the wreckage? You know, they're going to be on top. You know, but they weren't. They weren't there. There should have been body parts everywhere. There should have been, you know, probably hundreds of heads, you know, covered, you know, with dust, and hands and arms and legs and torsos sticking through windshields. But there was none of that. And he said that he walked the whole 16 acres, and he said he didn't see that once. There was none of that. So when you realize that the 1,300 people were at the top of the North Tower, they would have been on the top of the debris pile, that there's no, literally no way, regardless of the event that took place at the World Trade Center, you know, if you wanted to say that it was a nuclear event, whether you wanted to say it was directed energy weapons, whether you wanted to say it was, you know, Captain Kirk from outer space, you can't escape the fact that there would have been just body parts everywhere. I mean, and on the top, but they weren't there. So this goes to show you what all the other themes of 9/11 show you, that, you know, the day was a hoax. It was a day of scripted horrors, digital deception, bad acting, good acting, and, you know, just a day of deception. The day was not a day of mass murder. It was a day of hoax, you know, of fraud and digital deception. What do you think, James?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, as I was saying to Brian this morning, you know, we had an earthquake here earlier this year, and anyone who's ever been to like a major disaster knows that's the biggest obstacle to anything. Just after a couple of days, and it actually takes, you pointed it out, it takes probably a couple of days of decomposition to actually get that smell. So you wouldn't be smelling it over the first couple of days, but it's the most horrible thing you've ever smelled. I mean, and everybody talks about it. Like, it's the first thing they say in any interview, you know? And I mean, like, and just no one was talking about it.
Well, I caught somebody on... pile and into the center, and, you know, they said something about the stench of death, you know, and bringing a mask, but if you look around, you know, a lot of the people in the video, you know, nobody really had any masks on, you know, so it's like, if they're, you know, so close to the stench, and, you know, it's not just going to be localized in one area. I mean, if you have a rotting raccoon in the middle of that 16 acres, and that raccoon's been there for 2 or 3 weeks, I mean, you're going to smell that raccoon for, you know, probably a half a city block. Okay, you know, you take 445,000 pounds of human flesh, which is what there was, folks. There was, you know, 2,700 people, you know, average 180 pounds apiece. You know, you're looking at 450,000 pounds of human flesh rotting. There's something else that's unusual that's missing from not the debris pile, but all the videos and pictures of the debris pile. You can't find one single video taken of the debris pile after 9/11. You can't find one single fly in any of the shots. You can't hear any flies in the background of the video equipment. There's not one fly that sits down on the lens or buzzes the person that's trying to take the footage. Now,
there's all sorts of creepy crawlies that only really come out when a body's decaying, you know, all sorts of little insects and, I mean, it would have been the most disgusting thing probably anyone in that part of the world has probably ever seen.
It sure would. I mean, you know, part of what I do for a living is pest control. And I was at a seminar, and, you know, he had just, you know, given a talk about, you know, flies and, you know, how they breed. And so after the seminar, you know, without telling them why I was asking, I said, if you had a, you know, human hand, you know, that was cut off a little above the wrist, and I said this was, you know, down a few feet in the dirt, you know, 2, 3, 4 feet, I said, first of all, would the flies be able to get to it, find it, lay eggs in it? And I said, second of all, I said, how many, you know, flies would that, you know, one hand, you know, produce? You know, and he did the math in his hand, you know, a pound, pound and a quarter of, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he said, you know, probably a couple thousand flies. And he said that the flies would have no problem, you know, tunneling down to that hand, because that's what they do. He says there's some flies that will, you know, be able to tunnel down 6 feet into the earth to get to decaying flesh to lay eggs and eat. So he said that that one hand would produce, you know, conservatively a couple thousand flies. And, you know, with that, you can just do the math, multiply, you know, a pound and a quarter times, you know, 400,000. And, you know, you have, I mean, there would have been zillions of flies, trillions of flies. There would have been swarms of flies. They would have had to put liquid disinfectants down onto the pile in certain areas to, you know, smother the maggots and kill the maggots. And not to mention there was also, I believe, 40 tons of, you know, meat in the restaurants that, that we were told below. So you have the 450,000 pounds of human flesh, and then you have the 40 tons of rotting meat, and you don't have any flies. Not a single fly.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, like, you ask any coroner or anyone who works with bodies, like, they have to have, like, or even just police that work in crime scenes, murder scenes, they have to have masks and, like, with eucalyptus drops, and it's the most challenging barrier to any recovery or anything like that, because you just, you know, it'd be like something out of the third world. I mean, and it's funny because we've always said for so long, or how heartless they are, that they lied about the air quality to so they could get Wall Street back up and running. But forget about it. If 3,000 people died there, those buildings will be uninhabitable around there because the air conditioning systems and everything, they would just be filled with insects and so. I know them would. And you know, New Yorkers are like, I mean, you know, nobody would go back to work in any of those buildings on that area. I mean,
no, the sides of the building would literally stink for months. I mean, from the stench of death, because it would be so thick. But there was none of that. There was none of the insects, none of the flies. I mean, none of that. You know, they didn't have to spray down, you know, disinfectants or any of that stuff. You know, there was no scene. There should have been, you know, 60, 70, 80 hours into the rescue effort, debris removal. We should have seen reports on the TV saying it looks like they've reached the cavern of where most of the bodies above the 91st floor were. You know, since they were all in one area of the building, they're all concentrated in one area of the debris pile. There is hundreds and hundreds of them, body parts, and this is going to slow things down, folks. And but there was none of that.
Did anyone even say that they vomited? I mean, everybody would have been chucking their guts out.
No, I don't. I've never heard a single report of one person vomiting. The other night, I just saw the first video where somebody actually was talking about the stench. With what I was saying earlier about Lenny, when he went down to Ground Zero, and he said after the second day, you know, there was none of that smell. There was, you know, that stench, that acrid stench that he said it was gone. It was all gone. Now, if what he said is true, and, you know, his office is six, you know, blocks from the World Trade Center, then what about all that smoke that's coming out of the debris pile for, you know, 3 months? What is that? If it doesn't have an acrid stench and an acrid smell to it, and Lenny said that it was gone after the second day, this leads me to believe what I believe for an awful long time, that all what you see, all that smoke coming out of the debris pile, is just smoke machines that are just churning away underneath in the basement, you know, churning out, you know, this fake smoke and it's bleeding up through the debris pile. And it has a couple effects. It makes it look worse than it is. It hides the lack of debris. And according to, you know, if Lenny can be believed, I think he can, it didn't stink after the second day. And yet that stuff rose from the pile for months. Why didn't that stink? Well, because it was fake.
Yeah, and can you imagine as well, like, they say that there was roughly probably 45,000 windows in the building. I mean, they said that there was people with bucket brigades, you know, picking out the debris. Can you imagine how many people would, like, cut their hands?
Yeah, bucket brigades was a,
like,
you know, something that they did
really, like,
for
there'll be so many injuries.
You know, they did the photo, you know, the bucket brigade for a few hours to get a whole bunch of people in photo ops, you know, and, you know, that was going to be part of the narrative, you know, that, you know, the care and, you know, concern for the dead or the half dead or the mangled or the partially living, mostly dead, you know, that they're going through the debris pile, you know, picking it gingerly and going through it with care and affection and, you know, you know, that whole fraud is seen for what it is when, you know, later that night you see heavy equipment coming in and, you know, tearing the place apart. Okay, that happened the first night. You know, that happened on the night of the 11th. Giuliani tells us, you know, that at least 120 trucks full of debris left, and Stephanopoulos tells us the same. So, you know, the bucket brigade was a hoax. If the bucket brigade was, you know, true, it would have, they would have been doing that for at least a day or two, not just a couple hours.
You got to remember, these people would not have been medical professionals that would have been used to, or at least a little used to, seeing gory things. Like, and I was saying to Brian this morning that the emotional toll that this would have taken, like, there would have been so many people that would have committed suicide or like, have the worst depression or, like, you would never, ever be able to get over seeing those sorts of things, like, and you never hear those stories, you know, about the emotional toll that it must have taken on all those people if they saw all those things.
Well, how believable is it, you know, that a janitor inside of the World Trade Center, okay, who has a very stressful day the day before. You know, he picked up, you know, a fireman's boots with legs in it, you know, saw people cut in half, you know, carried people with all the skin off their body, 32% of it at least, in his words. Then, you know, had a harrowing escape, you know, barely escaping underneath the fire truck with three other fellows that we still can't get their names up because of privacy. But, you know, then we're, you know, he tells us, Willie Rodriguez tells us that, you know, he went home and he got a call from ABM telling him to go down to the cleanup the next morning. Oh, my God. It's like, you know, you wouldn't even see this kind of stuff in a bad Hollywood B-movie. All right. You know, the janitor. He's a janitor one day. Now he's a hero. Now, you know, the next day, now he's at the cleanup. All right. Willie's down there in the cleanup. The story is ridiculous. I mean, imagine the Sears Tower collapsing, okay, getting hit by an airplane. Okay, let's, you know, take out the players here, and let's just make it anonymous so you can see this for the crap that it is. So the Sears Tower gets hit by an airplane, and the Sears Tower collapses, and there's a janitor in the Sears Tower that barely makes it out with his, you know, life. And now this janitor is allowed inside of the crime scene the next morning to do cleanup and be on the bucket brigade? I mean, it's just pure crap. It's just, it's not even believable.
Totally absurd.
What was that?
No, I said that it's just totally absurd.
Yeah. Hey, James, you still with us?
Yep.
You guys sound great tonight, by the way. The stream is coming through really clear. You guys are coming through nice.
Oh, good.
Just that
good.
One dropped call, and that was it. Besides that, I mean, the quality is great tonight.
Excellent. Well, hey, it happens. So, James, what do you think about that? You know, he's janitor one day, now he's in the bucket brigade the next day?
That's ridiculous. I mean, you know, as I was saying to Brian this morning, I mean, one thing you know is that if 150 policemen really died there, you know, like, the police would lock the whole thing up. I mean, it would be a crime. Like, they wouldn't let anybody in there, you know, like...
No, because they could, they're all potential suspects. They were inside the building that blew up.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, Anthony Saltamalekia, Willie's alleged boss, tells us he was also at the debris pile. Now, what's interesting here is that Anthony Saltamalekia goes absent from 9/11. Well, he wasn't absent from 9/11. He only appeared, I don't know, 2005 or 2006, when Willie tracked him down to verify his story. And then when he got him on tape, Willie's doing the interview of Anthony in his office. You know, Willie puts it up on the internet. You know, new witness verifies, you know, hero story. You know, that's how he posted it almost. I'm embellishing just a little bit here. But it was ridiculous. And, you know, Anthony shows up at a symposium that's given by InfoWars, and he says that he hasn't seen Willie since the day of the event, you know, since 9/11. You know, so he's at the symposium and says, I didn't see Willie before, it's been, I think it was 6 years now, because I think that was in 2007. Now, check this out. You're Willie's boss. Okay, you both carry out a guy that you know, all the skin is off his body, and his face is burning, his hair was on fire. You know, you guys both rescue him. You both hear bombs going off. You know, you've talked over the years. You have each other's phone number, okay? You don't call each other up? Say, Tony, what the hell? You know, did you hear the boom that lifted us upwards? I mean, no? Okay, so all that, I mean, Tony never went to the police. Willie never went to the police. You know, we checked the Port Authority and the New York Police Department. You know, we did, you know, FOIAs, and there is no record of William Rodriguez ever making reports of bombs in the building.
So, what's more absurd is silly little key that he runs around with that looks like a house key or something. That's ridiculous. A modern building like that would all be card security, card key doors. They wouldn't be like a key lock on them, surely. I wouldn't think.
Well, no, I mean, you know, there's monkey bars on one side of the door, and then there's a round keyhole on the other, and that's what releases the monkey bars. And but, you know, the things that make Willie's story really the mostly unbelievable about that part is, you know, he said that the reason that they needed this key, now tell me if this makes sense to you. Let's tear this apart and apply some logic. The reason that they needed this key was because the building shifted when the plane hit, and it skewed all the doors and the door frames, and all the doors were stuck. Well, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but if all the doors are stuck, okay, your little master key is worthless. And, you know, you can unlock the door and it's still stuck. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Now, according to him, every three doors were locked and the fourth door was open. Let's assume that that's true. That also slows him down on his, you know, the ascension of Willie into heaven, well, the 39th floor. You know, Willie says, you know, he gave himself a 17-minute window of opportunity from the time that the first explosion happened till the time that he got to the top of the 39th floor. And that time, he rescued Philippe David, you know, carried him single-handedly 700 or 800 feet out through the basement levels of the World Trade Center, up two ramps, and came out into the center of West Street, put him into an ambulance where he then went into a coma immediately. That's when he heard the, you know, the commotion and looked up and, you know, saw the fire. Then he ran into the building, backtracking his 700 or 800 feet, and then he rescued somebody in an elevator, two people in an elevator, and then He runs up 39 stories. I mean, the whole story is just ridiculous. I mean, I can't believe that we all did this for 9 years and we never questioned it.
Well, I mean, his physique tells a very different story.
Pardon me?
His physique tells a very different story. I'm in the prime of my life and I couldn't do all that.
Yeah. You know, why don't you continue on with that? I think we're having some connection issues. Anyways, you know, you have stories like Willie's that fall apart when you scrutinize them. The more you scrutinize them, the more it falls apart. The harder you scrutinize, the more unbelievable the story becomes, the more impossible it becomes, the more obvious it becomes that he's lying, that he's been deceiving us, that he's lying through his teeth, that Willie's a rather well-compensated individual who, since 9/11, as far as I know, he certainly hasn't ever made it public. He has never been employed since working at the World Trade Center, yet he seems to do just fine. I'm not sure how you can be unemployed and you know, pay all your regular bills and, you know, have a wife and a kid and still, travel to 50 or 60 capitals all over the world, you know, through the years. You know, who's funding that? Where do you think the money comes from for, you know, Willie's junkets?
Well, you can't save much over 20 years being a janitor. My daddy was even on minimum wage.
He probably made, you know, 16 or 18 bucks an hour, if the story's true.
In New York, probably, it doesn't take a great far, does it?
No, he probably made 20. In New York, probably 24 bucks an hour after so many years, you know, that kind of job at a World Trade Center. But, you know, what's unusual, and this is another aspect, I just thought of it just now, kind of like a mini revelation. But those jobs, I don't think, would have been open to ABM employees. They would have been, the unions would have demanded that they get those jobs. So that's another aspect of this that's a little bit unbelievable. You know, unions, you know, take up almost all the city jobs, you know, and they demand them, you know, and they get them. So, you know, another thing that doesn't make sense with Willie's story is he said that when, I believe it was Governor Cuomo lost, you know, his re-election in 1994, that he was reassigned to the World Trade Center. Well, really? I mean, it really wasn't, you know, Cuomo's realm to assign Willie to, you know, public job, you know, that's owned by a private corporation. You know, it's like, how can that be? You know, if you really look at the story and scrutinize it, it doesn't make sense. We did a FOIA request to see if Willie had ever done any arbitration, if there was any records of arbitration between William Rodriguez and the Port Authority of New York. You know, he claimed that he sued the city, not for money, but to get a radio and a key. Because he fell down in the stairwells and hurt himself, and, you know, there was nobody there to help him. So he said that in 1993, well, in one of those interviews, he says 1996, so there's different stories for this, too. But he said that he sued the Port Authority for, you know, the key and a radio, and won. But there is no record from, you know, we contacted the Port Authority and did a FOIA request, and there is no record of William Rodriguez's alleged arbitration. Again, William Rodriguez's story falls apart, you know, wherever you, you know, scrutinize it, wherever you try to verify it. It's, you know, it's impossible because it's Willie's story is fake. It's fraudulent. It's a lie.
If he wasn't on our side, we would have torn the story apart in 5 minutes. We just never bothered to look.
No, the reason, you know, which is, you know, that's another interesting point. In 2007, Mark Roberts, you know, brought up a lot of the points that I started bringing up, and he did a lot better of a job of it than I did. And I remember vaguely, you know, Mark Roberts doing this, and I also remember rallying to Willie's side somewhere here on the forum and probably, you know, elsewhere on the net, because, you know, Mark Roberts didn't believe that, you know, 9/11 was an inside job, so he was an outsider. So I wouldn't even consider the things that Mark Roberts was saying, even though they were very, you know, well thought out, very articulate, and very pointed. They, you know, black and white, Willie's lying. And, you know, he spelled it out for us. But I wouldn't even listen, you know, when I saw that because, you know, he's on the other side. You know what I mean?
It's identical as well to the Scott Forbes story. And I was saying to Brian this morning that, you know, I mean, these stories aren't true. And they have no, we were all looking for that smoking gun. And, you know, I think Scott Forbes gave us the smoking gun with the renovation work and explosives being planted. And likewise, Willie gave us the smoking gun of a bomb in the basement. But I mean, the building was taken down from top to bottom anyway, so there's no reason for there to be a basement bomb in the first place. It's ridiculous.
No, and when you look at the pictures from the Nade film, you know, other than the broken windows, you don't see any broken marble, like everybody said. You don't see any soot on the walls. Everything else that they said is just not there. You do see the broken windows, which could easily, you know, occur when you know, with a concussion, you know, like a concussion grenade. You could blow out all the windows in the lobby, you know, with a single device. But there was no jet fuel. There was no soot on the walls. There was no whole walls of marble taken down. The chief comes in saying he's going after, he walks in the North Tower, and they say that there's a guy on fire to the right. And somebody else pans in with another camera, and you can see where he's talking about. And there is nobody. There's nobody there. There's nobody on fire. There's nobody. And if there's somebody on fire, why is he walking past them? I mean, the whole thing is just, it's badly, badly scripted. You know,
Yeah, it's worth noting as well that in the 1993 event, they also took out the windows in the lobby, and I've got a bit of a theory that I think a lot of that footage could possibly have been shot maybe at a different time. You know, I'm not sold at all by the Nade brothers' story. There's a lot of authenticity issues with that film.
The Nade brothers were there to help confirm the official narrative. As well as some of the sub-narratives, you know, that other people would follow, like Alex Jones and the 9/11 truth community. There was nothing like, you know, I think Brian said it earlier. I mean, they're there. I mean, it's like, you know, what a coincidence they're there to, you know, do a documentary about the New York Fire Department. And, you know, they've got the only place for 16 blocks where you could see the North Tower, that shot of the North Tower. That's where they are. I mean, it's not by accident. You know, I think it was at Duane and Vesey. And there's no other place for 16 blocks in any direction where you can get that view of the World Trade Center and get that clip.
But people forget as well that because of the tall buildings, you actually couldn't see the World Trade Center from most places. I mean, if you look at movies shot in New York, you know, you can't see it most of the time unless it's a long shot because it's obscured by all of the buildings.
Yeah, I live in, you know, outside of Chicago, and, you know, it's a big city, but when you get to the, you know, Chicago, it's nothing like New York. Chicago, you know, we have a loop, you know, a 2-mile by 2-mile area, you know, where it's all big buildings, you know, and then after that, you know, they all start getting shorter and shorter, you know, as it, you know, goes out to the city limits. In New York, when you get there and you go down the streets and the boulevards, you've got apartment buildings and office buildings on each side of the street that usually go up a minimum of 30 stories, you know, for miles and miles and miles. And then you take a left and you got the same thing, you know, and you take a right and you got the same thing. And you go 2 miles down and you have the same thing. It's like that. The city is just huge. It's just huge. They built up. They don't have any land there. They have like 8 million people, you know, on that island. You know, they're all living in high rises, you know, stacked up like rats.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest thing I was saying before, the biggest thing that dismisses the Nordé Brothers story is that, you know, they were sort of these aspiring documentary makers. Without a doubt, on the 12th of September, they would have been the most famous documentary makers in the world. They had the biggest scoop. You know, the first plane, the second plane, both drones coming down, footage inside the building when it came down. They would have been, you know, forget Michael Moore or whoever, they would have been the biggest people in the documentary business. And what have they done since then? Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, no, I mean, they had the shots of Father Michael Judge. You know, that was all Nordé footage. You know, what's interesting about the shots of Father Michael Judge is, you know, they were taking his body out on a chair, and, you know, he allegedly suffered, you know, a head wound from falling debris. There is no indication, you know, of any blood or, you know, contusions on his head, you know, which doesn't mean that he didn't get hit with something, you know, that, you know, killed him. There's not always blood in a head injury that kills somebody. But what is unusual about the picture is, they're carrying him out of the, you know, World Trade Center that's still standing, the North Tower, on a chair. There's like four of them, and there's the other guys that are like kind of making a way for him through the rubble. And there's like three or four pictures, and you look at the different pictures, and it's different people that are carrying them. You know, so what they're doing is they're putting them down and then getting a whole set of different people to pick up the chair and do another photo op. I mean, that's like a dead giveaway. I mean, you know, first of all, it's like, you know, you just had a building fall. Supposedly, you know,